Tonight was a very special night. My goodness. I had a message all ready for tonight. And it's something I really believe the Lord wanted me to share. And then 45 minutes before the service, I received a couple of emails from someone very dear to me. And I think the Lord wants me to say something else. So I'd like you to bow our heads together for a word of prayer. And then I just have a word tonight from you that I really believe will minister and is very timely in light of what we just witnessed. Father God, we just thank you tonight for what you've done in Juan's life. He just went through, Lord, most do not know the details here, an incredibly difficult personal ordeal. Falsely accused of something he did not do. And his life was turned upside down. And we thank you, God, that you do indeed work all things for good. Even when all the things happening to us feel so bad. And we thank you, Lord, that you do hear us from wherever we are. Whether deep in the ocean or in the highest mountain, whether we're in a prison cell or in our basement or in a garage or in our car or in a field, whether we're crying or full of sorrow or full of joy, you hear our voice. And God, we thank you that there is no power on this earth, no power in heaven, no power in hell that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. And that there's no person, no circumstance, that you cannot and will not, in your right time, turn for good. And Lord, we just praise you today that you speak to us from your word, that you've given us the presence of your Holy Spirit, that you walk through every valley, you go through every difficulty, through every fire, through every testing, through every furnace, through every flame, through every hardship. You're with us. You're with us. You're in the pain with us. You're in the difficulty with us. Nothing we ever face alone. But sometimes, Lord, sometimes as little tiny finite human beings, we get lost in all the pain, lost in all the trauma, lost in all the difficulty, and it overwhelms us. We praise you, O God, that you keep a tight right hand on us at all times and you never let go. Tonight, Lord, speak a special word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'd like to read this scripture to you tonight and then say a few words. Blessed are you, Jesus said. Blessed are you when you're reviled and mocked and persecuted and slandered and lied about because you are my followers. Be happy. Leap and shout for joy, for great is your reward in heaven. And remember, this is how they treated the prophets before you. I received an email from someone tonight, very dear to me, who's going through something very similar to this text tonight. But I happen to know that many in this room are going through it, or have recently gone through it, or you're going to go through it. We don't fit in this world. As Kathy and I were driving here tonight, I was just commenting to her about some of the things I've been reading recently in the news, and I won't get into all of them, but the reality is we live in a pagan nation. We live in a nation in which Christianity is ostracized, in which Christians are going to be more and more reviled, where the way in which we choose to live and the upright lifestyle and our values of commitment to lifelong marriage are reviled. The value of a mother choosing to stay with her children and raise them is reviled as slavery and indentured servitude. What we hold dear in the Word of God is belittled and made fun of in the media. It's one thing when it's the media. It's a whole other thing when it's your father and your mother and your brothers and your sisters. It's one thing to have the world at large, impersonal, you don't know them, sort of belittle you and make fun of your faith on Saturday Night Live or Stephen Colbert or Conan O'Brien or whatever name they may be. But it's a whole nother matter when someone you love and you care about slanders you, lies about you, laughs at you, reviles you, and kicks you to pieces with their words. It happened to Jesus, didn't it? And I thought I would remind you of two simple stories tonight. Remember Joseph? You remember Joseph? You remember how he was ridiculed by all of his brothers, all 10 of his other brothers. They were jealous of Joseph. They reviled Joseph. They made fun of Joseph's faith and his innocent trust in God. They despised him and they hated him so much that besides all the ridicule they gave him, they sold him into slavery to their enemies. Now, you know what's interesting about the story of Joseph is, and some of you have probably experienced this, first he gets persecuted, he gets dumped on by his family. And I mean, it's bad. It's a really bad, horrific, emotionally distressing situation. When he was in the hole that they threw him in, before they sold him, the Bible says Joseph's screams could be heard, and one of his brothers wanted to show pity on him, but the rest of them wouldn't let him. They were actually going to kill him. They talked of killing him, and so the brother who had pity on him, his compassion was shown by, no, let's sell him. So they sold him. So Joseph heads off to Egypt. And if you know everything about slavery, it's not pretty, it's not kind. They strip him and they stand him on a stand, and he's there naked as a Jew. It's a little awkward because Jews do things a little bit differently to men than all the Egyptians. And they sell him. And all of a sudden, it looks like the favor of God is on Joseph's life. Things are sort of getting better. I mean, you know, it's a bad situation, but he serves Potiphar faithfully, and Potiphar really likes him. And so Potiphar puts him in charge of all of his home. And there's a problem. The problem is Potiphar's wife has an infatuation with him and constantly tries on a regular basis to seduce him and get him to sleep with her. And every time Joseph refuses, he refuses to dishonor God and to dishonor his master. Now this is a difficult internal trial for this young man. Finally, she tries to rip his clothes off one day in her inner chamber. Everyone was out. She threw everyone out. She could. She was the mistress of the entire palace. They lived in sort of something like a palace. She grabs Joseph and he flees for his life, and she falsely accuses him of rape, and he spends the next 13 years of his life in jail. Well, where's God? Wow, God, that's really loving. I'm faithful to you. I'm trying to follow you, and now my life gets worse. Have you ever felt that way? I have. I'll raise my hand. Absolutely, I'll tell you, there are times in my life you're trying to go after God, and the next thing you know, for a brief time, it seems like, wow, this Christian thing, this is really awesome. And then, wham, you just get slammed. But we know the end of the story, don't we? We know the end of the story. We know that God exalted Joseph. God exalts in time the righteous. God honors those who honor Him. And one day, Joseph was in a place of great honor, and his brothers were in a place of great servitude. And that is exactly what will happen with you and your family who may have persecuted you. You honor God. You remember that you are in a blessed and a favored position. It does not feel that way. Cry all the tears you want. Just remember Joseph. Because your day is coming. Your day is coming. Your day is coming. And let me tell you this. For all eternity, you will rule with the King of Kings. And in the new heaven and the new earth, you will rule. But God is going to bring good in your life. He's going to eventually bring good. I want you to remember David. You may not know this about David. David saved the nation of Israel. He was about 17 years old. All he was a shepherd boy, but he'd been faithful as a shepherd. And while he had guarded his father's sheep, he had killed a lion and he had killed a bear. Now you think, well, what's the big deal about that? That was common in the day. No, it wasn't common in the day. If a lion or a bear comes out of the woods or out of the mountains, and you're guarding 1,000 sheep, and one of them grabs one little lamb, are you going to risk your life, run it down, attack it yourself with a club, and beat it till it lets go of the animal? I don't know too many people that would do that. Most would think to themselves, there's 999 left. I don't think Dad's going to miss one. But David was faithful. Did you know David's brothers despised him? Didn't know that, did you? It's underlying in the text. There's the tension. When David goes to ask what will be done for the man who kills Goliath, because David's father, who he faithfully serves, Jesse, sends him to the front battle lines with a little food, a little care package, and says, find out how your brothers are doing. So he goes up. He asks him how they're doing, and they look at him, you little runt. What are you doing here? You just want glory for yourself. Get out of here. That was their attitude towards David. David saw Goliath come out and challenge all the Israelites. This mammoth of a giant. And all the Israelites fled. And David said, what will be done for the man who slays him? Oh, you'll get the king's daughter. You won't have to pay taxes. It'll be good for your family. So David finally goes to Saul. He says, I'll go after him. I'll fight him. Saul laughs. Others laugh. He says again, I'll fight him. I watched my father's sheep. A bear came, a lion came, and the Lord delivered him into my hands. He was faithful in private. He'll be faithful in public. So David goes out, and he attacks Goliath. Goliath, of course, belittles him, mocks him, reviles him. And, of course, we know the story. David takes that one little sling. He charges the giant. He puts a little rock in the sling. He slings it into the giant's forehead. The giant goes down. He goes over, puts his foot on his chest, takes the giant's sword and cuts his head off and grabs it by the hair and holds it up. And the entire Philistine army flees for their life. And the Israelis shout, chase them down. And there's a great slaughter. The king brings David close to him. David has just saved Saul's entire kingdom. David is also a musician. Saul is a tormented soul. David sings to him. David plays. David becomes his trusted lieutenant. David leads his armies out time and time and time again until one day he's coming back and all the women of the town near the palace begin to sing a song. Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s, and Saul flew into a jealous rage and from that moment on despised the man, the boy who saved his kingdom. David's trying to honor God. David's trying to do the right thing. You may not know this. You may not have ever put it together. I have. I've studied it. For the next 12 years, David was hounded and chased like a dog. He slept in caves. He pretended for a time to be insane. He ran and he ran as one of the greatest armies of the time chased him down. And twice God delivered Saul, in a sense, right into David's hand. David cut off a piece of his cloth and then held it up when Saul got far away. Saul briefly repented, then chased him more. And finally, on the same day, David's best friend Jonathan and Saul, because Jonathan was Saul's son, fell in battle and were killed. And at that moment and that time, David received half the kingdom. And God exalted this little shepherd boy, and he became the greatest king that Israel ever had. Because those who honor God, in time God will honor. The world will ridicule you. Family and friends may ridicule you. But never forget what Jesus said. When Jesus is preaching, his mother and his brothers, yes, Jesus had other brothers, half-brothers, of course, because Joseph was their father. Joseph was not Jesus' father. They were belittling Jesus. I don't know if you knew that either. His brothers sort of taunted him about this supposed messiahship. And one day Jesus is teaching in public. Someone runs up a little note, whispers in his ear, gives him the note. Hey, your mother, your brothers, they're outside. They want to see you. Jesus, standing up, knowing they can hear every word, says to the crowd, who is my mother, my brothers? Those who do the will of God. They are my mothers, my brothers, my father, my sisters. Never forget, young person here tonight, who your real family is. And I say that in all respect towards our blood relatives. Some of them may know the Lord. Some of them may be doing the will of God, and they are doubly your family. But your real permanent family are those who do the will of God. We are aliens. We are strangers. We do not belong in this world. This world is uncomfortable for us, and they are uncomfortable with us. And as time goes on, and in the days ahead, and I believe really before I see my 80th birthday, if the Lord does not return, we will see outright bigotry and hatred and vitriol towards Christians. Some of you have already experienced it. I have experienced it in my life. And I was writing to this young person, and I shared briefly, I said, I remember going through something very similar. That was 37 years ago, and we know how that story ended. God is building your faith story. God is recording in the books of eternity your faith story. And God is growing you in situations right now. And they may seem like, you may feel like, they're going to kill me, Lord. These are going to kill me. I've felt that. I have certainly felt that. I have told that to the Lord. There are times I just thought my, as Paul writes in Corinthians, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of what great pressure we were under and the great struggle we had. We were under so much strain that we thought we would die. We thought it would kill us, but this happened to us, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And he raised us and stood by us and delivered us. We don't get to see that deliverance, you see, unless we're in situations that feel like we're going to die. Never forget 2 Corinthians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the God and Father of all mercies, the God and Father of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our distresses with divine comfort, that we might comfort those who are going through a similar situation. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. When men and women revile you, when they slander you, when they belittle you, when they make fun of you, when they see mean, cruel, hurtful things to you because they're bothered that you're really my follower. They're bothered by your righteousness. They're bothered that you don't go along with the same flood of dissipation. They're bothered that when they go out drinking in your home visiting, you just graciously decline. And they belittle you and they make fun of you. And the reason we all know is because of what Jesus did in your life. Blessed are you. Fortunate are you. Great, not a little, great is your reward in heaven. And it will last. And they will be put to shame. They will be put to shame for their mockery of you and their ridicule of you. We know the end of your story. See, I may not know what's going to happen 10 years from now, but I really truly know the end of my story. And I've lived long enough now on almost 40-year journey to look back and go, and I know many of the ends of my story before. But I guarantee you the end of the story, you win. And you don't just win. You are ushered in glory, man. Glory. Glory and fame that will never for one moment fade away for all eternity. Your story is being written. Hold fast. Stand strong. Encourage one another. Never forget the person sitting to your right, to your left, your brother and sister in your small group, your house church. You wonder why we meet together? Because we need each other. Because we need each other. Because the world is against us. We have not chosen to be against them in the sense that we hate them or we revile them. We have simply chosen to be on God's side. We have simply chosen the righteous life to follow Christ. And because of it, you will be hated. Love one another. Encourage one another. Stand by one another. God is going to reward you. He's going to bless you. It's going to be so worth it. You will not have one moment of regret on the other side. But I want to tell you, you also come to a place in this life yet where you really, truly won't have regret. You will see the goodness of God. You know what David writes in Psalm 27? I end with this. Many of the Psalms David writes, he's writing about his own experience while he's being chased from Saul, by Saul. And in Psalm 27, he writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid?" He ends the psalm by saying this, "I would have despaired." I don't know if despair is as bad as it gets. I would have just completely, and I've been near this place in my life where it's almost just like overwhelming. Just I'm ready to just completely despair. Except for this, I would have despaired unless I believed I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Therefore, wait for the Lord. Yes, wait for the Lord. Let your heart take encouragement and wait for the Lord. He's going to come through for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the power of the Word of God. For the treasure of your word. And I thank you, Lord, personally for the miraculous work you did in Juan's life. For the way in which you met him in that prison cell. And the way in which your word became so real to him, so powerful to him, so meaningful to him, more important than his very food. I thank you for the prayers of the saints for him, that you answer prayer, that we can hold one another up in prayer. I thank you, Lord, for the song Michael led us in tonight. I thank you, Lord, your love. This one word kept going through my mind. It is unstoppable. It is unstoppable. It is unstoppable. And the purposes of God are unstoppable. And you will come through with good, and it is unstoppable. It's just a matter of time. Sometimes the train takes a little longer to get here than we thought it was going to. I thank you, God, that your word is a treasure to us right now. Your word gives us life. Your word gives us encouragement. Your word gives us meaning. Your word gives us hope. Your word is our bread. Your word sustains our life. Your word is our very health. Your word is our treasure. Your promises, Lord, they mean everything to me. They mean everything. You're the only one who absolutely all the time keeps your promises. You're the only one who can. We are finite, fallible, fragile human beings. We show up late. We forget what we said. We forget a promise we made. You do not. You do not. I ask you, Lord, to pour out a special grace tonight, because I know there are some here tonight going through some very difficult personal persecution. I pray you'd comfort them and strengthen them and be near to them in Jesus' name. Amen.